It's truly a privilege and an honor for me to deliver this shir. As was mentioned, this is the 11th Yahrzeit shir given on behalf of the Pollack family for Eliezer ben Shlomo. I've had the schus of giving another one, a Yahrzeit shir for him in the past a few years ago, and it was truly a special event, and so is today's event. As you look around the room, you see all the people that came to partake in this. It's really a testimony to who he was. And although I did not have the schus to actually have met Eliezer ben Shlomo, but I get to know his son quite well over the last few years. We've shared together in simchas and through sorrow, but we got to know each other well. And although I didn't meet Eliezer ben Shlomo, I can tell a lot of what type of person he was and what his what he valued in life. Stories that David has told me about his father in Florida and Eretz Yisrael, the people he associated himself with, the gedolim that he connected to, clearly tells you what type of person he was, what was important to him, and what he valued. And those traits were passed down to his children and to his grandchildren. To me, the biggest proof is when David invited Rabbi Arlwine to come join us for a shir once, and that Rabbi Arlwine came. Many times Rabbanim are told by people, come here this year, come here that year. And at some point they have to say, listen, you know, I'm sure everyone is great and everyone's wonderful, but I have other things to do with my life. But the fact that he listened and he respected David's opinion enough to come join us for a shir was really the biggest proof that he values David's opinion. And he says, yeah, if you say this is sure, this is something I want to be part of, this is something I want to come to. And it was a great chizuk for us to have Rabbi Arlwine join us. But that's because David is that type of a person that knows what's important and values Torah and Shurim. And Rabbi Arlwine saw that, and therefore he took him up on his offer. So this year, and the Torah that we learned today should be a schus for the neshama of Eliezer ben Shlomo's Yahrzeit is coming up within a few days. And all the great work, and the great effort and time that David and his family puts in, not only for Torah, but for other wonderful causes here in the community and outside the community, should be an aliyah for his neshama. In Parashas Balak, the Torah talks about the whole story of Bilam. Rather complicated story to understand who Bilam was, what his agenda was. Clearly we see, starting from the end of Parashas Balak all the way to the beginning of this week's Parasha, we see one theme, I believe. We see a theme where one or many people were able to do a lot of destructive actions without any physical actions, all through the power of speech. Starting with Miriam saying Lashon Hara on her brother Moshe, Meraglim, Kairach, all those storylines where no one was doing any physical action. It was all speech. It was talk. So people say, yeah, talk is cheap. Although talk may be cheap, talk is extremely powerful. And the lesson from all the previous parashas leading up to Parashas Pinchas is that the power of a person's speech can be extremely effective, and it could do so in a very negative way. A person can use words in a very, very bad way to affect people and ruin lives, not only their own, but others. That's really the lesson of all the parashas that we started reading in the summer months, where the Torah is relaying to us the chashivas, the value of human speech. And that's why it's so special in last week's parasha where the donkey started to talk. That was the Torah's way of showing you, look at speech. I, Hashem, control speech. I can give a donkey the ability to speak if I want to. But we as humans have the right naturally to speak. And the Torah is really infusing with us the idea of how we have to be careful on the way we talk and the words we choose, because they do have a very, very long and lasting impact. Rashi tells us, quoting the Medrash, that the Goyim could have came to Hashem with a taina. They said, Hashem, it's not fair. If you would have given us a Navi like you gave Moshe Rabbeinu, we also would have been good people. But you never gave us proper leadership. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you're right, I'll give you leadership, I'll give you Bilam. Now you have Bilam, now you have no excuses for not being good. So everyone asks, what type of comparison is that? You gave them a corrupt Navi. If you give that person a corrupt leader, it's always going to lead to corruption. Moshe Rabbeinu was a great leader, so of course the Jewish people did well for themselves. But the Navi that the Goyim got was Bilam, a corrupt Navi. So how is it fair to get a corrupt Navi? So Chaim Shmulevitz and Sichas Musa explains that the idea of Bilam versus Moshe Rabbeinu was Bilam had no toil in becoming what he was. He was self-made. He was put into the world as a Navi. So says Chaim Shmulevitz, when you're put into the world without working towards it, you're not going to have success. The way we succeed in life is by toiling, working, changing, and becoming better people. That was the difference between Bilam and Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu worked on becoming a Moshe Rabbeinu. He wasn't a one-night Navi giving you the ability to be a Navi, and all of a sudden now you're special. So Bilam was quick, easy come, easy go, and therefore Bilam didn't have a long-lasting impact. But what Bilam should have done was became self-motivated, said, if Hashem gave me Nevuah, I need to improve myself, I need to become better. As opposed to Moshe Rabbeinu, who worked on himself. When the donkey is trying to fight with Bilam, he tells him that I can't go curse the Jewish people, because, he says to them, because they keep the regalim. Rashi says the reason why the Jewish people didn't deserve to be destroyed was because they keep the Shalosh Regalim. So the question is, why is the Shalosh Regalim the reason to be saved? So if Moshe Shtemach has a nice piece in his Sefer, he writes, because every single time the Jews left their homes to be Eile Regal, the Goyim knew all about it. It's like, you know, when we go away for the summer, the Goyim know about it. He says that we used to leave our home, this is before they had Slomans, you left your home basically unprotected. When you went to be Eile Regal, you made a comment to your, you made a declaration to the neighbors, like, guys, I'm going away for about 2 weeks, and make sure you don't steal my house. It took a lot of emunah, says Rav Moshe Steinbruch. To be Eile Regal back then took a lot. It wasn't just, you know, how are you going to get, you know, get to Eretz Yisrael and make sure you have where to stay. It was leaving your house, knowing that you're going away for 2 weeks, and no one protecting it. It took a lot of emunah in Hashem. Therefore, says Rav Moshe Steinbruch, that's why Klai Yisrael deserved to be saved. From the fact that they took that emunah every single regal, and they said, you know what, we're going to close up, we're going to leave, we're going to travel, and we're going to hope that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to protect our house. That emunah that the Klai Yisrael had to keep Yom Tovim, that emunah is what saved them. So although today that might not be the case for many of us, I think there's still a very strong level of emunah when it comes to Yom Tov. Many people have to figure out their vacation days for Yom Tov. And it's not always so easy. You have to balance how many days do I have off for Yom Tov, which days I'm going to miss, the backlash for missing for Yom Tov, all the work I'm going to have to catch up on, what they're going to say in the office. It's not an easy thing, even in the world today. So maybe even though at the times of Bilam they were more focused on the Eile Regal, but I think this emunah that we live with today is true even today. When we take off a Yom Tov, which is not always easy to do, sometimes in the middle of busy season, it involves emunah as well. And that emunah is what keeps us going as a nation. That's why other people, throughout the generations, besides Rav Bilam, who have tried to eradicate us, don't have the ability to do so, because of that emunah that we say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, say, listen, Yom Tov is Yom Tov. I'm not going to go in. It's going to give me trouble, and I'm going to have to work late many other nights, and people juggle the days all the time. It's an ongoing battle. But I'm going to say that this is important to me, and I trust HaKadosh Baruch Hu will provide. Then at the end of the parasha, very quickly, the Torah tells us of the story where the Jewish people sit with the Avodah Zarah of Baal Pa'ar. And if you look in the Gemara, when the Gemara describes the Avodah Zarah of Baal Pa'ar, it's really a disgraceful experience, Baal Pa'ar. It has to do with worshipping after they go to the bathroom. It's really almost disgusting to think about anyone would even do it, let alone the Jewish people, the Am HaNivchar, would drop to such a low where they would do such a type of Avodah Zarah. So the question is, why would they do such an Avodah Zarah? We're better than that as a nation. We saw greatness, why would we drop so low? So Reb Chaim Shulevitz also, in another famous piece in Sichas Moser, explains that the Avodah Zarah of Baal Pa'ar was to be inhibited. We live in a world where we just want to be free. Do whatever you want. The Avodah Zarah of Baal Pa'ar was that lesson of do whatever you want. Just live free, don't worry, no control, no restraints, just do whatever you want. I like the hippie movement a little bit. Do whatever you want, just do whatever feels good. So when you live a life like that, says Reb Chaim Shulevitz, where there's no rules and regulations, you can find yourself one day doing a Baal Pa'ar. He says, the beauty of Judaism is that we have rules and regulations and boundaries. And all these things are put in place so we don't cross to the point where we find ourselves years later saying, how did I get here? What am I doing? Because we have beautiful boundaries and gedarim. And sometimes we look at these gedarim of Chazal, we say, what were they thinking? Come on, if I do this, I'm going to do that. It sounds so far-fetched. Maybe. But they did it with a reason. They wanted to make sure we don't end up one day all the way on the wrong side of things because we had no rules. And therefore, when you have no rules, anything goes. Whatever feels good at the time. And look around the world today, that's the way most people are living their life. Whatever feels good, do. No moral rules, no legal rules, whatever feels good, do. So the Torah is reminding us that we can reach to that level. And the way we ensure we don't go there is by remembering the rules of the Torah. Which is why when the Torah tells us the story of Baal Pa'ar, right next to it, the Torah tells you, don't add on or to subtract from the mitzvahs. So what's the connection between those two things? Because if you start adding and subtracting from mitzvahs, you're basically doing what you think feels right. Well, to me, it feels right to do this, and it feels right to do this. We don't decide the rules. It's not based on our feelings. It's based on what the Torah tells us to do. And the way we remember that is Baal Pa'ar, because if you start to do what feels right, you're going to find yourself later on doing a Baal Pa'ar. So the end of last week's parasha is a very, very powerful lesson in human psychology, that if we don't find ourselves with rules and regulations, we can find ourselves doing things which normally we would never think about doing, just because we got so distant from what's right, we find ourselves doing things that are morally incorrect. Okay, today's shiur, we're going to discuss an interesting shiloh that comes up this week with the beginning of what's known as the 3 weeks, or commonly used in literature, the Bein HaMitzarim. Now, what's interesting about the sugya of Bein HaMitzarim, there's very little literature in Gemara, no literature in Gemara about this idea called the 3 weeks. There's no Gemara anywhere that says the 3 weeks. The earliest mention of the 3 weeks is in Rishayim. Yet, we're going to learn today, there are many halachas that are very relevant starting with the 3 weeks. So what I want to discuss today is, when exactly do the 3 weeks begin? We all know Shavuos V'Tammuz starts Tuesday. The question is, when do the 3 weeks begin? So there's a couple of options. Option number one is it starts Tuesday morning when the fast begins. The other option is maybe it starts Monday night. When exactly does the 3 weeks begin? And this obviously has a lot of halachic ramification. The most common shayla that's discussed is, can I make a wedding Monday night? A person wants to get a wedding right before the 3 weeks start. He wants to make a wedding Monday night. Would one be allowed to make a wedding Monday night? Or more practical, can a person get a haircut Monday night? Person's running late, they didn't have the chance to get a haircut before the 3 weeks start. Can he shave? Can he take a haircut? Listen to music? Some of the other prohibitions that exist during the 3 weeks, when exactly do they begin? So in order to tackle this issue, we have to first figure out where does the whole concept of the 3 weeks begin. As I mentioned earlier, it's not found in any Gemara anywhere. If you look in the Gemara and the Mishnayos at the end of the fourth parak of Tainis, which is really the sugya of what we call the 3 weeks, 9 days, Tisha B'Av, there it's clear from the Gemara and Mishnayos that the earliest time we can talk about Avelus is Rosh Chodesh. The Mishnah says over there at the end of Tainis that the earliest time to talk about is Av. Once we get into the month of Av, which we call today the 9 days, then there's various restrictions. And then the Gemara talks about what's called Shavu Shechalboi, the week in which Tisha B'Av falls out, which in this case would be the whole week. Tisha B'Av is Tuesday, so Sunday and Monday. And then there's really Erev Tisha B'Av, and that's really all that you find in literature in the Gemara about the Avelos that we are going to experience. So where did the whole 3 weeks come from? So it's interesting. We'll start off, number one, with a beautiful piece from Reb Soloveitchik. There's a Mishnah in Maseches Tainis and Daf Chavav. The Mishnah tells us 5 things happened on Shavuos HaBetamuz, and 5 things happened on Tisha B'Av. And the Mishnah lists the 5 things that happened on Shavuos HaBetamuz and the 5 things that happened on Tisha B'Av. I believe it was 2 years ago when we had a Yahrzeit Shiv for your father, David, where we spoke about this Mishnah at length. We spoke about what was the significance of knowing the 5 things that happened on Shavuos HaBetamuz and what's the correlation between all those 5 things. But for today's show, we're going to discuss a different issue. Soloveitchik asked, he said, why is there no Mishnah that asks what happened on Tzayim Gedalia? Why is there no Mishnah that asks what happened on Asar B'Tavis? Why is there only a Mishnah that talks about Shavuos HaBetamuz and Tisha? That's the question that Soloveitchik brought up. So before we see his answer, one would have suggested, because Tzayim Gedalia at least is a whole different type of a fast day. We know Tzayim Gedalia is not a direct connection to the Chorban Beis HaMikdash. Asar B'Teves, that do with the Beis HaMikdash. Shavuos HaBetamuz, Beis HaMikdash. Tisha B'Av, Beis HaMikdash. Tzayim Gedalia, that do with the Gedalia Ben Achikam dying. Now, simply speaking, Gedalia Ben Achikam's death had nothing to do directly with the Beis HaMikdash. Although, if you look in the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah says, we learn from here that the Misa of a Tzaddik is like the burning of the Beis HaMikdash. Because the fact that we put all the fast days together, and Tzayim Gedalia seems to be the one odd man out, so the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah, we learn from over here that Tzreifas, that Misa Tzaddikim, and the death of a Tzaddik like Gedalia, is equivalent to the burning of the Beis HaMikdash. So you see, there is some form of a connection between the two things. But clearly, if we had to, you know, take in a line, which one doesn't fit, we pulled Tzayim Gedalia out. So that could be the answer to Reb Soloveitchik's question. The reason why Tzayim Gedalia wasn't asked, because it's not a Beis HaMikdash-related Chorban. But that doesn't answer for Asar B'Teves. Asar B'Teves is very much Chorban-related. So the question still is very strong. Why would Asar B'Teves not get a Mishnah mention, while only we find Shavuos HaBetamuz and Tisha B'Av? So Reb Soloveitchik answered in Shuri Harav, he says like this in number one. V'yesh lohavin. Madua la yiskubu mishnah es advarim she'iru ba'asar b'tevis b'tzayim gedalia. Why is there no mention of what happened on other Jewish fast days? Again, Tainis Esther could be a whole different type of fast day. Tainis Esther was really a fast day that ended up being a positive day, a Yom Simcha, as opposed to these fast days that are going to stay sad until Mashiach comes. So ask Reb Soloveitchik, shem yud b'tevis, meses v'asayfer. So he writes like this, V'hanira b'zeh, says Reb Soloveitchik, and this is the introduction to the sugya today. He says, because sheyesh chalois shem yuchad lahayamim sheben yizayim b'tamuz v'tisha b'av. Because there's some significance to the day starting with Shavuot v'tamuz and concluding with Tisha B'Av. Why? V'av shel inyan din hatayne shalem ein shom sheiches b'neim. Even though practically there's no real connection between the two of them. V'komok l'inyan kiyum ha'avelos ha'nohagis b'hem yesh kiyum echad l'shnehim b'yachad. There's one theme that takes place for both of these occurrences of Shavuot v'tamuz and Tisha B'Av. Why? She'ein ha'avelos shel Tisha B'Av maskila b'tisha b'av ba'atzmi. We don't start in the morning of the Beis HaMikdash first on Tisha B'Av. Elo b'yudzayim b'tamuz. Says Reb Soloveitchik, the morning of the Beis HaMikdash doesn't first start on Tisha B'Av. We don't first wake up on the night of Tisha B'Av saying, Kenes Anecha, now let's start morning. It starts earlier. When does it start? From when does it start? It starts already from Shavuos HaBetamuz. So the Mishnah is telling you that there's a time frame starting from Shavuos HaBetamuz and concluding with Tisha B'Av. That's a special block of time. What's that block of time? That's the time when our focus should be on Chorban Beis HaMikdash and Avelos of the Beis HaMikdash. Therefore, he writes from Salavetchik, V'nir Loimar, V'mehai Taimel HaHizkir V'mishna El Dvarim She'ir Ben Yuzayim B'tamos V'tishabov. That's why the Mishnah only spoke about those specific occurrences. K'dei L'kvoya H'nyonu Shal Yoyim She'b'yom Eilot. For us to focus on what is the importance of these days. This block of time, starting from Yuzayim until Tishabov, this is one idea. What's that idea? It's the idea of time to focus on Chorban Beis HaMikdash. V'nafkemina, says Rav Soloveitchik, is a practical difference halacha. Le'inyan achiv lumed yonei halachas Tisha B'av v'yisez man. Let's say a person wants to know, when is there a good time to start learning Hilchas Tisha B'av? Should I start learning it a day Erev Tisha B'av, or should I start now? So Rav Soloveitchik thinks that now is the right time to learn in Yonei D'Yomah. We always say we want to learn in Yonei D'Yomah. This is in Yonei D'Yomah. Starting from Shavuos B'Tammuz is the time to start learning things pertaining to Chorban Beis HaMikdash. So you see clearly that there's something called the 3 weeks. Maybe there's not so much practically halacha, as Rav Soloveitchik himself writes in the piece, there might not be a halachic concept to it, but there's a hashkafic concept to it. That there's something special, significant about the time, starting from Shavuos B'Tammuz, including with Asar B'Tevis. Rav Soloveitchik goes on to explain, there's a pasuk in Yirmiyah HaNavi, that when one of Yirmiyah's nevuah, he sees a sheket, he sees a tree, a sheket, which is in Hebrew, a sheket is I always forget, an almond, right? He sees an almond tree. So Yirmiyah says to him, Yirmiyah says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what's the significance of the almond? So Rashi quotes a Medrash. The Medrash says an almond tree takes 21 days until it's ready to be eaten. Says Rashi, just like the 21 days from Shavuos B'Tammuz until Tisha B'Av. So if Soloveitchik says, you see again, there's something special about this time frame. There's a significance given to Shavuos B'Tammuz until Tisha B'Av. The question is, now that's all true, what halachic significance does it take on? Very nice, we'll see, there's a hashkafic background, and it's a time to start thinking about the Beis HaMikdash, but where does it play a role in halachic, practical halachic ramification? So again, in the Gemara there is none, in the Mishnayos there is none, in Rishonim is the first time we really get exposed to the idea of Avelos during this time. If we look, for example, in the second source, in the Kolboy, we have a different share discussing who exactly wrote the Kolboy, that's a whole share for itself, big debate amongst the historians, who exactly was the author of the Kolboy, but the Kolboy is a rather accepted Sefer Lahalacha and one of the great Rishonim. So the Kolboy over here is in Hilchas Ishus, not in Hilchas 9 days, in Hilchas Ishus. When he talks about marriage, he writes like this. V'gam einoisim isha mitzoy merivi. We don't make weddings starting from the fourth fast, which is Shivas HaBetamuz at Tzoyim Tisha B'Av. Why? Because of the mourning that we find ourselves in during these days. So it's interesting, he mentions the word avelos. He sounds like the reason why we're not making weddings is because we're in mourning. We're in active mourning period. And one of the things that you don't do during mourning is you don't make weddings. So it sounds like a little bit, from the wording of the Kolboy, that the restriction on weddings during this time, between the 3 weeks, what we call the 3 weeks, would be because of the avelos. Now, the problem with banning weddings are, and this was a problem during Sfira as well, is weddings are a mitzvah. They're an important thing. It's not like a haircut where you can, yeah, okay, take a haircut, you don't take a haircut. Wedding is a mitzvah. Who gave the Rishonim the right to ban doing mitzvahs? Can you imagine if the Rishonim got up and said, okay, between Shavuos B'Tammuz and Tisha B'Av, no one's going to learn for 3 weeks. It would never go. Torah is too important. Weddings are very important as well, whether or not their Kedushin is a mitzvah, not a mitzvah, Hechsher mitzvah, all the Torah that we've spoken about. But we know there's some form of mitzvah involved over here. So who gave the Rishonim the right to ban doing mitzvahs during this time period? And the truth is, by Sfira, this was extremely controversial. There were many people that felt that during Sfira, they have no right to ban such activity. Yet we find over here, when it comes to this time of the year, the Kolba writes that, no question, no weddings because of the Avelos. So that's something we really need to understand, that what exactly is the reason for these restrictions during this time? Is it really because of the Avelos? Meaning, although Me'ikar Adin, the Avelos only starts Rosh Chodesh or Erev Tisha B'Av, the Rishonim felt the urge to start the Avelos earlier. That's one possibility. Or as we'll see, I think today maybe another, a whole different idea of the 3 weeks. The 3 weeks is not about Avelos. The 3 weeks about is that it's just not a good time to do things. Or what the Rishonim and even Acharonim call Zman Peronius. It's just a bad time in our history. And certain things we don't do at a bad time. One of those things we don't do when it's not the perfect Zman is weddings. Right? The Ramah writes in Shulchan Aruch, we don't get married in the second half of a month. Why? Because it's not a good Zman. Although it's not Avelos. It's just not a good time. We like to do things as Jews when we have good simen, good, you know, mazel. So what I want to discuss today is the prohibitions of the 3 weeks because of Avelos, or there are totally different reasons. It's not an oval. And some of the things we don't do during the 3 weeks, an oval would be allowed to do. But the reason for the restrictions are because this is just not the good time to do certain activities. And that's really what we'll call the hakira of the day. Of what's the reason for the prohibitions of the 3 weeks? Are they because of avelus? Or are they because of it's just not a good time to do certain things? So when it comes to weddings, the kolbe seems to be very clear that it has to do with the avelus. If you look in Shulchan Aruch, number 3, Hetovkuf Nanav, the Mechaber writes, they noisim noshim, we don't get married, they noisim sudas erisin. This is already, v'afilu la'aris b'lai sudam mutter, v'afilu b'tishav v'atzmai mutter la'aris. I had a case a long time ago where someone told me that he wanted to get married during the 9 days. I said, that's a little problem, you can't do it. He said, no. The case was over this was a second marriage, and the person was getting married, and his parents were older, and they wanted to be there. And they were on their deathbed. And the question was, can they make a chasid very quickly so the parents can see it? So according to the Mechaber, you're allowed to make erisin. If a person wants to make erisin, afilu b'tisha b'av atzmai mutal aris. You can do erisin even on tisha b'av. What's erisin? You just give the ring, and you have 2 edim, you say, mukadeshes, and you move on. So the imamish did it in the hospital room. They had 2 edim, they gave the ring, it was during the 9 days, and the Mechaber said, you can even do on tisha b'av. So that you're allowed to do. But the regular weddings that we do with music and enjoyment, that you're not supposed to do. Zokter Ramah. We go further than that. Not only don't we make weddings during the 9 days, we don't even make weddings during the 3 weeks. Why? Doesn't say why. The Ramah didn't give you a reason. If you look at Mishnah Berurah doesn't give you a reason either. Why? Why no weddings? So again, so we saw the Kolbe. The Kolbe said because of Avelos, some form of connection to Avelos. But in the Ramah himself, to me, it's not clear why we don't. Interestingly, if you look in the Chayodim number 4, he says, Kevin should be Yudzayim B'tamas Hiskol Mitzas HaChorben. He says that Shavuot B'Tammuz was a partial korban. What happened on Shavuot B'Tammuz? Shebatol HaTomid uBatol HaNesach. The Gemara says that what happened on Shavuot B'Tammuz is we lost 2 major things. We lost the carbon tomid, the twice a day carbon, and we lost the pouring on the Mizbeach, which were big losses. Some even explain that the fact that we lost the tomid was why we ended up losing the Beis HaMikdash, because the beauty of the carbon tomid was the idea of consistency. Since we were consistent, bringing karbanis every single day, that protected us from all harm. Once we lost that, then the goyim were able to win. But says the Chayadam, therefore noyegim shei noisim noshim yitzayim betamus. The way the Chayadam learns, the reason why we don't make chasanas during this time is because it's already shtickel chorban now. Although the real chorban didn't happen until 3 weeks later, this was already what he calls a miktsas ha-chorban. This was a partial chorban. Because since there were 2 major things that happened on Shavuot B'Tammuz, we lost the carbon tomid and the pouring of the wine, that's already what he calls a miktsas ha-chorban. So the reason why we have these restrictions, according to the Chayadim, is because of the miktsas ha-chorban that took place on Shavuot B'Tammuz. Now, does that mean avelos? That's closer to the idea of avelos. That sounds like there's something actively happening during this time that's a reason for us to refrain from making weddings. If you look in Rishonim, number 5, they call it a Piskei Riyaz. Piskei Riyaz writes like this: Anu noigim shloi leechol basar u'shloi lesaper miyudzayim b'tamus. We have a meaning not to eat meat, not to take a haircut starting from Shavuot B'Tammuz. Those are 2 interesting activities: not to take a haircut and not to eat meat. Ve'ein l'shanes haminuk. Don't change the minuk. So there was a meaning in Rishonim, it's brought down halachah and Shulchan Aruch and Mechaber, that we don't eat meat starting from the 9 days. Right? So I'm sorry, that you don't start eating meat from Yudzayim B'Tammuz. What's the pshat of that prohibition? Again, not taking a haircut and oval, we know that's an avelos thing. Not eating meat, and oval's allowed to eat meat. So what's this restriction about? Not eating, so it could be an element of simcha, but again, if it would be simcha, why is an oval not restricted from eating basar? An oval's allowed to eat basar. What? So clearly there's another reason over here taking place, that you're not allowed, one of the reasons why you're not allowed to eat basar is because the Beis HaMikdash wasn't getting its basar. The Mishnah Berurah in one place says it like this. In another place he says it differently, it's somewhat austere. But at least one reason why we don't eat meat during the 9 days, or maybe even from the 3 weeks, is because the Beis HaMikdash stopped getting its basar on it. So if the Beis HaMikdash didn't get its basar, how could we eat basar? Now, would we call that avelus? No, that's not avelus. That's a certain recognition of understanding that you shouldn't eat meat. That's basically just not eating meat. That's not avelos. An ovah is allowed to eat meat. It's before shalach, an ovah is allowed to eat meat. An oinin can't eat meat, but an ovah is allowed to eat meat. So clearly we're seeing that there's possibly 2 things going on over here during the 3 weeks. That's not only avelos, but there's other factors that are going in to some of the restrictions. Again, haircuts, I think we all agree haircuts have to do with avelos. That's a simple understanding of a haircut. But the achilas basa, that has to be because of another reason.
So it
could be that. So that's what we have to work on. Is there 2 separate things taking place, or there's one, or there might be a distinction in which place can we go, like into which restriction you're going to have, which we'll see as we go on. If you look at the Ramon Shulchan Aruch, the Ramon writes, "V'noyegim lahachmi v'tchilas Rosh Chodesh in Kibbutz," that we have a chumra that we don't wash clothing starting from Rosh Chodesh. Aval tespeiris noigim lachmir shavasa b'tamas. But tespeiris, we already machmir starting from shavasa b'tamas. And the achreinim were very troubled by this Ramon Shulchan Aruch. Because if you look in the Gemara in Tainus, the Gemara always puts together tespeiris with kibbutz. They go together. Haircuts and washing clothing have the same rules. The Gemara has a whole discussion when the prohibition starts, when the prohibition ends. The Gemara has a shita that you can't even wash even after the tishah. A whole discussion in the Gemara over there. But the achreinim ask, how could the Ramah split the two? The Ramah says, well, for washing clothes it starts Rosh Chodesh, and for haircuts it starts Shavuos v'Tammuz. But the Gemara puts the two together. The Gemara always says one rule for both of them. Whatever the rule is, it's machlokes in the Gemara, three shitas. But whatever it is, tespeiros and kibbutz go hand in hand. So frek the achrein, if tespeiros and kibbutz go hand in hand, why did the Ramah split the two? Why did the Ramah say that when it comes to haircuts, that's already Shavuos v'Tammuz? When it comes to clothing, that's already the 9 days. Why split? The Gemara puts together, why do you split them? So it's interesting, the lashon of the Ramah is again, the noyagim lahachmir tefilas Rosh Chodesh, alvat tespeiros noyagim. The minhag was already earlier. Why? Why was that the minhag? So the Gra learns over here, number 7, the Gra writes, for a very simple reason, Mishum de'en geizun. Right? The beauty of Gra is you have to understand what he wanted in three words. So the Gra writes, Mishum de'en geizun. What does he want over here? So Mishabur explains, the Gra meant is that it was an impossibility to stop people from doing laundry for so long. It wasn't practical. It was exerish shi'ef shalamik, but people couldn't handle it. It was too hard. So therefore, Chazal couldn't, or the Rishonim couldn't have prohibited that, as opposed to haircuts, which was more manageable. As we know, that back in the day, they went many more days than we do today without haircuts and shaving. It wasn't such a big deal. So new haircuts. So that will start Shavuos v'Tammuz. But, says the Vilna Gaon, but when it came to washing your clothing, again, they didn't have so much clothing. Today we have big wardrobes. They didn't have so many wardrobes. They had one or two outfits, and they washed it, and they cleaned it, and that's how they went. So therefore, if we'd stopped already 3 weeks before, people wouldn't be able to handle it. So Zog Deville Nagoyen, you're right. Really, Tespeiros and Kibbutz should have the same rules. But we had to build in a leniency clause, because why? Tespeiros was easier to do, but Kibbutz couldn't. Which means, Lefize, just in Lomdus, it comes out that both really should have been prohibited starting from Shavuos v'Tammuz. Now that's hard to understand. What does washing my clothing have to do with Shavuos v'Tammuz? Right, the Beis HaMikdash, you know, didn't have a laundry mat that was closed because of the Chum Beis HaMikdash. So what did laundry have to do with the restriction of Shavuos v'Tammuz? That's a little bit hard to understand.
But if all of that's true and we're supposed to be consistent, there wouldn't be 9 days.
No, there's new restrictions in 9 days.
No, but there wouldn't. You wouldn't need to say 9 days. Everything would be 3 weeks. You would have a 3 week period.
Right.
And you would never.
No, but that's
no
it.
Mention.
Well, that's the idea. Again, as Salvation himself pointed out many times, that there's a process over here. Just like in real Avelis, we know there's Shiva, Shloishim, Yudbeis. So with this Avelis, is also, it's the backwards, but.
Yes, and that's because you're increasing.
That's right.
But if you don't, if you take the approach that everything is supposed to start.
No, I didn't say everything.
At the 21 day point,
no.
at the 3 weeks. And it's only because that it's more difficult, but theoretically, everything should start.
I don't think anyone's going to make that argument. I don't think we're going to say everything should start at Shavuos v'Tammuz. I think various restrictions, as we'll see, there are much more extreme things that only become usher later. You know, you want to know why did some start then, what some started now. I think that's the basic question over here. Why are things usher at this time? If it's also Velus, so then maybe more things should have been prohibited. If it has to do with direct connection to the Beis HaMikdash, or the loss of Beis HaMikdash, or loss of Karban Tamid, so other things should become usher. That's what I think we need to navigate ourselves through today to figure out. If you look in the Aruch HaShulchan, number 8, Aruch HaShulchan has a totally different spin on this. And I think it makes a big difference in Lahalacha and in Lomdus. The Aruch HaShulchan writes, Veda. The Avagav the Kibbutz Einanu Machmirim Rakim Rosh Chodesh. Even though we're only Machmir with Kibbutz starting from Rosh Chodesh and not Shavuos v'Tammuz, Avot Tespeiros Anonoigim Asim Mitzayim v'Tammuz. But haircuts start earlier. The question is why? Says the Aruch HaShulchan Mishum the Tespeiros Einu Shchiach Ki Kibbutz, because Tespeiros were not as common as Kibbutz. Ulechem B'Tisha Yomim Lo Yenikir Isura. If a whole time you weren't allowed to take haircuts was 9 days, for many people it would never be relevant. I go way more than 9 days without taking a haircut. What restriction is this? Back then, people took a lot longer time between their haircuts. So if a person was told, during the 9 days, and I'll take a haircut, he'd say, big deal. I don't take a haircut every 9 days anyways. So because no one would feel the restriction, says the Aruch HaShulchan, we had to start it earlier. Now what does that mean in Lomdus to me? It sounds like that really haircuts should not have been usher during the 3 weeks. It means really haircuts should have first been usher in the 9 days, and there should be no avelus starting from the 3 weeks. But we had a problem, because if we would do that, the whole idea would be lost. So according to the Aruch HaShulchan, it comes out that in Lomdus at least, haircuts should have not been prohibited during this time. It's only prohibited during this time, because if we wouldn't do it now, it would never be felt later on. Which, Bizman Hazer, is obviously not the case. We go a lot more frequent than 9 days between haircuts and shaving, so this wouldn't be relevant. But in Lomdus, it comes out according to Aruch HaShulchan, that the prohibition of haircuts don't start, really, at Shabbos Matamos, but really they first start later during the 9 days. As we move on in Halacha, we find the Mechaber writes in Shulchan Aruch number 9, Yesh noigim shloilecha basar shloishtis yayin b'shabbazu. Some people have a meaning not to eat basar and yayin during the Shabbos. V'yeshem esifim reish chedesh adatainis. V'yeshem esifim mishavasar. Shulchan Aruch brings down what we saw in Piskei Riyaz, that there are those people that have a meaning not to eat meat during the 3 weeks. Now again, not eating meat during the 3 weeks is for what reason? Avelus? It can't be Avelus. And others are allowed to eat meat. So what would the reason be for restricting meat starting from Shavuos B'Tammuz? So here the Mishnah Berurah explains. He writes in number 10, Deme'oz hiskel ha-peronius shel ha-chorban. Because this is when the peronius of the Chorban began. Similar to what we saw in Chayadam. Like this was the beginning of the end of the Beis HaMikdash. Now, does that mean it's Avelus? What exactly do these words mean? Deme'oz hiskel ha-peronius shel ha-chorban. Because this was the starting point of the Chorban. So is that a fancy way of saying, and therefore we have to be treating it like Avelus? Or is it a different concept? It's just not a good time. It's not a good time to indulge, maybe. It's not the right idea. But it's not because of Avelus. To me, it's not clear. And Mr. Brum himself contradicts himself, because later on he writes, the reason for the meat has to do with the fact that there's no carbon tamid. So to me, this is not clear if it's Avelus or if it's a different svar. We'll go one step further. If you look at another source in Shulchan Aruch number 11, the Mechaber writes, Toiv li zoy meloy meshachiyonu ben amitzar. It's better to refrain from reciting the bracha shachiyonu during the 3 weeks, al priyay al malbush, on a new fruit or a new clothing, aval al pidyon haben oimer, but if a person has a pidyon haben that takes place during the 3 weeks, he says it, v'lo yachmatz ha-mitzvah, so he shouldn't lose the mitzvah. Fine. It's a very interesting halacha. You're not allowed to say shachiyonu during the 3 weeks. So the goyin has a kasha based on a rajba. The Rashba paskins that an oval makes a shachiyanu. So if an oval makes a shachiyanu, why can't we make a shachiyanu? If the whole 3 week restriction is based on avelus, it doesn't seem to work out. Because a real oval is allowed to make a shachiyanu. So if a real oval is allowed to make a shachiyanu, why can't we make a shachiyanu during the 3 weeks? That's a very strong kash on this mechaber. That's one pshat. That's one option. 100%. That's one way of answering it. Avelus diyachid versus avelus derabim. But if you go further in Mechaber, you'll see something interesting. The Mechaber writes, Tzarech lizor mishiv asa b'tamuz at tishav av shleilech yichidi. A person should make sure not to walk by himself during the 3 weeks. Me'ar b'shoyis at tishav, between 4 hours and 9 hours into the day. V'layaku talmidim yom mehem. The person shouldn't hit his talmidim. Okay? Not so accepted today anyways. Other places talk about hitting your kids. Okay? We're not going to talk about that either. But the Mechaber writes two halachas that seem to have absolutely no connection to the theme that we were discussing the whole morning. What is, again, not saying Shechiyonu is clearly not an Avelos din. Not walking by yourself has nothing to do with Avelos, nor does hitting Talmidim or hitting your children. So what is going on over here? What are these restrictions based on? The restriction of not saying Shechiyonu, the restriction of not walking by yourself, that's Avelos? That's the din of Avelos? You find the halacha that others not allowed to hit people? You don't find such a halacha. So where do these two halachas fit in to everything else that we were discussing? Secondly, what's even more troubling is that we all know that the Mechaber or Svardish halacha don't believe in the 3 weeks. They say all these Rishonim, they don't paskin like that, the Mechaber. Yet the Mechaber himself is very clear that you're not supposed to say Shechiyonu, and you're also not supposed to walk by yourself and hit your Talmidim. If you don't believe in the 3 weeks, you hold it doesn't exist, so it doesn't exist at all. How are there some halachas that are still relevant to the 3 weeks in the Mechaber's world if the Mechaber himself rejects the concept of the 3 weeks? That's the chayra, the strong kasha over here. What it forces us to say is that there's two dinim in the 3 weeks. There's an element of Avelus. There's a certain concept called mourning during the 3 weeks, and certain restrictions come about from that mourning, such as weddings, haircuts. And then there's another concept of the 3 weeks, that it's just not a good time. It's Zman Peronius. It's a bad time in Jewish history. And therefore, there's certain things you shouldn't do during this time. One of them might be walking by yourself and hitting your students, hitting your kids. These are just not good things to do at a time where we're just not in a good place. There are many achrayim that were machmer, they didn't go swimming during the 3 weeks, or they didn't go swimming in dangerous places during the 3 weeks, they wouldn't go on their adventurous trips during the 3 weeks. Some people didn't even do surgeries during the 3 weeks, because it's just not, it's not a good time. It's not a good omen, so to say. Now that's not avelus. That's a completely different halach. That's just a concept, that now is just not a good time. This date in the calendar is not mesugel for Jewish success. But that's not avelus. So now, if we're willing to accept this idea that there's two separate ideas in 3 weeks, so now we're ready to tackle the Shiloh. This was just an introduction. Now we're ready to tackle the Shiloh. When does this time really begin? We have to first figure out what the 3 weeks are, and then we can figure out when it starts. If we don't know what it is, so then it's very hard to know when it starts. So if we assume that there's two dinim taking place over here, there's one element of Avelus, and there's one element of bad time, so now we have to ask ourselves, so when does that all begin? Does that begin Shivas B'Tamas in the morning, or does that begin Monday night after sunset? When exactly does it begin? Do you look at 17 on the calendar? When is 17 on the calendar? 17 on the calendar is Monday night after Shki or after Tzeis HaKachavim. That's no doubt. But if it's connected for some reason to the fast, we'll discuss this also in a minute, does the fast really begin Monday night, or does the fast begin Tuesday morning? So there's a very famous tshuva from Rav Moshe Feinstein, Igris Moshe Chelakal, Asim Kuf Samachas. Rav Moshe was asked this question. Nishalti Mididi Hagayin Menachem Palak B'Shnas Tov Shin Yud. The story happened in 1950. Shechal Shivas B'Tamas B'Yayim Aleph. Shivas B'Tamas fell on a Sunday. So the question presented to Rav Moshe was, Miyesh Lasis Nesuun B'Lel Masi Shabbos Kodesh Or Lyud Zayim B'Tamas. And it's important to note when the story happened. Not just, oh, the night before Shavuos B'Tamuz, but it was a case where it was a Masi Shabbos leading into Shavuos B'Tamuz. So the question presented to Rav Moshe was, Shavuos B'Tamuz fell out on Sunday, so this person wanted to make a chasen of Masi Shabbos. Now to us, it seems like an irrelevant child who makes chasen of Masi Shabbos, but back in those years, they used to make chasen of Masi Shabbos, which I wish they'd bring it back today. It would be great for all of us to go to a wedding on a Masi Shabbos instead of like a work night. But in any case, that was the child presented to Rav Moshe. Can you make a chasen on the night going into Shavuos B'Tamuz? So what was Ramesh's response to him? So Ramesh answered, if you need to, then you could be matter. Whatever that exactly means, there's no other date, there's no other hole, whatever that means. So Ramesh said it's permitted. Based on what? What was Ramesh's basic lumbus over here? So Ramesh writes like this. Ramesh thinks that the start of the 3 weeks depends on a totally different shiloh. There's a very big machloikish b'shoinim in Mesechas Tainis. When does every fast day really begin? Does the fast day really begin the night before? Or does the fast day really begin the morning of? Now you'll ask me, how can the fast day start the night before? We all eat the night before. So based on the Gemara and Tainus, that the reason why we're allowed to eat the night before is because the Chazal gave you a leniency to continue eating until you stop. Which is why, according to some, if you actually stop eating and you don't make a Tanai at night, then you wouldn't be allowed to eat the next morning. But there's a big machloikis b'shoinim when exactly every fast day begins. Does it really start the night before? Or does it really start the next morning? So Rav Moshe writes like this, since there's a big machlokes b'shoinim about that, and he writes, L'achriya b'ein b'shoinim b'shvel kushay, Rav Moshe says, I can't get involved in this big machlokes b'shoinim. He writes, Mikol mokim, le'nin zesh medinoi lo ha'ilon ma'atzer klal. So Rav Moshe, let's start from the beginning. There's really no reason not to make weddings during Shavuos B'Tamuz. There's no literature in the Gemara. It's only b'shoinim. El shu minik ba'alma b'shem avelos derabim. Rav Moshe calls it avelos derabim. V'loi misamna milsa. It's also not a good sign. Both the ideas that we mentioned earlier. Efshir gamarif, virashi, viramban, viramban, hasayvim, dehatainis, masmi, verev, yoidu shalinizehu rakme hasman shenikar, shemis avlin shume haboykir shemaskilin lasanis. So Rav Moshe, unbelievable chiddush. Rav Moshe says it's like a shtickle svek svek over here. First of all, we assume, says Rav Moshe, that the 3 weeks start with the onset of the fast. So you have to ask yourself, when does the fast begin? If it starts at night, if it starts in the morning. So Dr. Moshe says, if you hold it starts in the morning, of course you can make the wedding. No problem. The fact that the 3 weeks don't start till the next morning. Dr. Moshe, what I do with the other Rishonim that hold the fast, they starts at night. Says Dr. Moshe, maybe even those Rishonim that hold the fast starts at night, they agree that the 3 weeks starts in the morning. Why? And this is the dilemmas. Because they hold the 3 weeks starts from the morning. Because that's when we actually start the fast. What does that mean? What Rav Moshe seems to be saying is that even if you accept the notion that the 3 weeks are connected to the fast day, it's only when you're actively expressing the fast day. Not when it's in theory a fast day, but no halakhic ramification. When it's a fast day and you're actively living a fast day, meaning the restrictions are already in place. So says Rav Moshe, even if you're willing to accept the notion that the fast day started the night before, could be the 3 weeks don't yet start till the next morning. Why? Because the 3 weeks start when you're actually expressing or living or acting on the Avelus and not the night before. That's Rav Moshe's lumbus. Now, what's interesting about Rav Moshe, and we'll see other Achronim, is everyone assumes that the 3 weeks starts from Shavuos B'Tamuz. Why does that have to be the case? Why does the 3 weeks have to start when the fast starts? I would have thought the 3 weeks start whenever Shavuos B'Tamuz starts. When the Shavuos B'Tamuz starts from Judaism, the night precedes the day. So the Shavuos B'Tamuz starts the night. That's called Shavuos B'Tamuz. If you wanted to know on calendar, when is the 17th day of Tammuz? The answer to the 17th day of Tammuz is the night preceding the 17th day of Tammuz. So I would have thought, without any Shaila, that the 3 weeks are totally in Shavuos B'Tamuz. Right? That was Loshon of a Kolboy. He says it starts from Shavuos B'Tamuz. When Shavuos B'Tamuz, that's the night preceding the day. Rav Moshe and Rav Salvechik and many other Gedalei Achronim assume not like this. They assume that the fast day is the starting point of the 3 weeks. I think one could debate that, but that's the assumption that both Rav Moshe and the other Acharonim make. Where Rav Moshe gets interesting is Rav Moshe says that I'll go a step further. Even if you assume the fast day starts with the start, the 3 weeks start with the fast day, I think it has to be when we're actually practically experiencing the fast day and not the night before. And many Acharonim took issue with this line of Rav Moshe. They don't understand Rav Moshe. Why should it be like that? Shouldn't it be when it's actually the fast day in halacha, not when you're living it? So I would have answered to them, no. Is that, I think Rav Moshe's way makes a lot of sense. Because again, if you're learning that the 3 weeks is an Avelos thing, so then it makes a lot of sense that whenever we're starting the Avelos of Shavuos B'Tammuz is when we should start the Avelos of the 3 weeks. I think there's a direct correlation between the two. Just to say it's a trick, because whenever the fast day starts, that's when, you know, it kicks in Shavuos, the 3 weeks. Why? If you learn it like Rav Moshe, I think it makes so much sense that the starting of the Avelos of Shavuos B'Tammuz is when we're starting to show, to feel, to experience Avelos of Shavuos B'Tammuz. That's when we start the other types of Avelos. So I would have thought the way Rav Moshe sets it up is quite logical, that it should be totally in when you're knowing the Avelos. Rav Moshe ends off in the Tshuva. He writes, L'chein yesh l'hatel tzayrich. You can permit it if there's a need. Then he talks about a more creative shaila, which actually happened last year. What happens if Shavuos B'Tammuz falls out on a Sunday? I'm sorry. And when Shavuos B'Tammuz falls out on a Sunday, Rav Moshe says it's a very rare occurrence for Shavuos B'Tammuz to fall out on a Sunday. Okay, I'll take his word for it. There's no way of saying, well, what was the minhag in Klal Yisrael? There was no minhag. It never happened. Very rarely. Rav Moshe concludes, there's room to be made. That's the famous tshuva for Rav Moshe finds. Now, according to Rav Moshe, what happens to haircuts? Let's say, forget the wedding shiloh. I want to take a haircut. I wake up this Monday night, 10 o'clock, and then I realize, I didn't take a haircut. We're going to 3 weeks, and I didn't take a haircut. What do I do now? So if you just read this tshuva in Rav Moshe, some people think that this tshuva in Rav Moshe is only for weddings. Weddings are so important, they're so chashiv, they're a mitzvah, this, that, and the other. So Rav Moshe was makel because of weddings. But Rav Moshe would have never allowed you to take a haircut. Is that true? Would that be the correct halachic takeaway from this tshuva in Rav Moshe? So I would say absolutely not. Rav Moshe wasn't saying anything about the significance of weddings. Rav Moshe was saying the lumnus, and the way the lumnus presents, it comes out very clear. That Rav Moshe's lumnus is that the 3 weeks don't really start till the next morning. So if the 3 weeks don't start till the next morning, none of the halachas of the 3 weeks start till the next morning. Not music, and not haircuts, and not any of the other halachas. Now, I guess one could have made the argument that when Rav Moshe was matrit, it was because Rav Moshe, you know, weddings were so important, so Rav Moshe had to come up with all these kulas to justify a wedding. But of course, if you would have asked Rav Moshe about haircuts, he wouldn't have justified it. Maybe. The reason why it's not true is because Rav Moshe wrote another tshuva about it. If you look over here at number 13, Rav Moshe wrote another tshuva. Nigus Moshe chelik dalit kuf yud beis. Rav Moshe wrote clearly. Let's say you want to take a haircut the eve of Shavuos B'Tammuz. Dr. Moshe, he knew the mashab ha'ati b'tshuva. Based on what I wrote earlier on, shalayin lasis nesum b'layla humachlokes b'shoinim u'pe in lisvarim u'poy in lisvarim. Okay, the ayin ba l'tzarech godlo yesh lahatir. So Rav Moshe is very consistent. It's the same l'tzarech godlo yesh lahatir. Why? Because the way Rav Moshe set up the lumnus has nothing to do with the fact that weddings are more important than haircuts. It had to do with the fact that Rav Moshe believes that the 3 weeks don't really start till the next morning. So if the 3 weeks don't really start till the next morning, he doesn't start for anything. Not haircuts, and not shaving, and not music, and not weddings. Rav Salavechik takes it a step further. Rav Salavechik says that based on the same way Rav Moshe set up the sugya, that it's machloikis rishayim when the fast starts. Rav Salavechik also assumed, not like me, he assumed that whenever the fast starts is when the 3 weeks start. So Rav Salavechik says that fiaskomas rishayim sheim atanis maslumi be'erif. Salavechik says most rishayim hold that the fast day taka starts the night before. So why are we allowed to eat the night before? That's only because there's a leniency that we're allowed to continue eating. So he writes, if so, she'ein lasis chasana below yizayim betamas. You would not be allowed to make a wedding on this year Monday night. Shari has man shall be an amitzar maskul kvami be'erev, because the 3 weeks already started from the night. So Salavechik was assuming that the 3 weeks start whenever the fast starts, and he was going a step further than Rav Moshe. He was saying it's pashut. Most Rishonim hold fast day start at night, so fast day start at night. 3 weeks start at night. You can't make a chasana at night. Val derech ze yesh lohavim gam hashikas v'atarish shlom. Then he goes on a step further to say, based on this, we can explain a comment of the Teresh Shlomo in Yeridah. He writes, there's a chumra not to eat bas of yayin on the night preceding all the fast days. Which means you're not allowed to have bas of yayin this Monday night, or you're not allowed to have bas of yayin the night preceding Asar B'Teves. You're not allowed to eat bas of yayin the night preceding a fast day. Says of Salvation, why on earth not? It's not a fast day. It's a regular day. Why can't I have bas of yayin? So he writes, according to me, it makes a lot of sense. Since most Rishonim really hold that the fast day starts at the night, although there are leniencies and we allow you to eat, but there's no reason to indulge. Why should you have bas of yayin? That's not right. Why should you indulge? There's a leniency to eat whatever you started to eat. But to go out and indulge at a time when it's really a fast day, We have to really change our mind. We look at the night before fast day as free time. It's not a fast day. The fast starts Tuesday. So as Rav Salvation, no, the fast starts Monday night. And therefore, he writes that according to this, you shouldn't make a chasana not only Monday night this year, but every night preceding a fast day. Let's say one person wants to make a chasana the night before Asar B'Tevis. Right? Before Asar B'Tevis would be a Tuesday, a person wants to make a Monday night chasana. So according to Rav Salvation, you're not allowed to do that. Why? Because since already the nighttime is already considered the fast day, and the Ber Halacha writes that Asar B'Tevis is supposed to be treated like the 9 days. It's a controversial Ber Halacha, according to Prima Gadim, it's in the Tavkof Nan Aleph. The Prima Gadim writes that you have to treat Asar B'Tevis like you would the 9 days, which is always a big shaila for many people, because Asar B'Tevis usually falls around vacation time. Usually when people are off from January, usually that time, and people go on vacation. So the question always is, can you go swimming? Because can you go swimming on Asar B'Tevis? Again, if you accept the Prima Gadim's idea that you have to treat Asar B'Tevis like the 9 days, you can't go swimming. Because you're not allowed to go swimming during the 9 days. You can't take extra hot showers. But that's the idea. So if Salvechik says, based on this, not only can you make a wedding the night before Shavuos B'Tamuz, you can't make a wedding the night before Asar B'Tevis either. Because the night before is already Haschalas HaTamuz. So clearly, if Salvechik was of the opinion that no weddings are allowed to be made the night preceding Shavuos B'Tamuz, because he holds that already from the night is already Shavuos B'Tamuz. So according to that, you can't make weddings, and you can't listen to music, and you can't take your haircuts, all already from the night preceding Shavuos B'Tamuz. So we'll call it Machlokes Gedei L'Achronim. According to Rav Moshe, L'tzarichik Mimater. According to Rav Salvechik, absolutely not. Everything starts the night before. Now again, both Rav Moshe and Salvechik are clearly assuming the lumdus that the start of Shavuos B'Tamuz, the start of the 3 weeks, is directly connected to the start of the fast. That's clearly what you see in the Gedei L'Achronim in their lumdus. Now, Rav Shmuel Vosner has a tshuva where he takes issue with this psak of Rav Moshe. He tainus about Rav Moshe v'eino nira. Two words. V'eino nira. I don't hear Rav Moshe. I don't see it. I don't understand it. I disagree with Rav Moshe's premise. And he writes over here, "Become uvda de baligus Moshe hayu belil motzi Shabbos kodesh shahayu yudzayim betamuz be'malv b'Shabbos v'ketzad machmas kedushas motzi Shabbos kodesh." Shmuel Vazor is a little bit more chassidish than Rav Moshe. Shmuel Vazor says, maybe the reason why Rav Moshe was matir motzi Shabbos, because maybe you can justify the fact that Avilah doesn't begin because we're still living off of Shabbos. There's still a hamshachas kedushas Shabbos, and because of that continuation of kedushas Shabbos, that's why the night was allowed to make a wedding. But if it would be a regular Monday night like we have this year, no, then of course you wouldn't be allowed to do it. Now, we also the tshuva of Rav Moshe. That was clearly not the way Rav Moshe was going. That wasn't Rav Moshe's lumdus. That wasn't the way he looked at the sugya. I don't think Rav Moshe would tell you it makes a difference to him, Matzah Shabbos at Tuesday night. But that was Rav Shmuel Vazor's idea. That he thought maybe on a Matzah Shabbos it's easier to justify doing things of simcha because you can make the argument that we're still continuing, we're piggybacking off of Shabbos, and Shabbos carries no restrictions of Avelus. So that's why Matzah Shabbos would be permitted. Now again, that's the beauty of seeing a tshuva inside. You can see clearly that was definitely not Rav Moshe's angle on the sugya, and I don't think Rav Moshe would be too concerned with this time. Others have other issues with Rav Moshe. For example, if you look at number 16, Rav Moshe Sternbuch in the Sefer Ma'idim Uzmanim, he also takes issue with Rav Moshe. He writes like this. Again, Rav Moshe finds the big Rav Moshe hechik lahata filim sum gufa b'lo yizayim b'tamuz. We know Rav Moshe was matter making chasen as the eve of Shavuos b'tamuz when it's necessary. U'mechiach shebalo yizayim b'tamuz adayin lechal aves mibarev. And what was Rav Moshe's raya? That the tainus doesn't start, the avail doesn't start from the night. Udvar of tmuim. Why? Because what was Rav Moshe's raya? Since we pasken that we don't say anenu the night before tanus, that means the tanus doesn't start yet. So if the fast doesn't start yet, the 3 weeks doesn't start yet. In fact, Rav Shtembach, udvar of tmuim. The reason why we don't say anenu the night before, it's not because the fast day didn't start. El meshe b'lay lo'ichumayt. You can't say the bracha aneinu if you're still eating. Is it not because in lumdus the fast day didn't start? It could be in lumdus the fast day really started at night, but you can't make a bracha that talks about being uncomfortable if you're talking very comfortable. So he writes, there's no raya. Now again, this is, I don't think Rav Moshe would be too shooken up by this either. Rav Moshe's whole taina is that he says in the middle of the tshuva, he says that the practical avelos doesn't start. And that's true. We all agree that the practical dini avelos doesn't start until the next morning. So the onset of the 3 weeks doesn't start until the onset of the practical dini avelos. So since there's no practical dini avelos until the next morning, the onset of the 3 weeks doesn't start until the next morning. So I don't think Rav Moshe would be too riled up by the ha'aris of the achron. The sefer divrei Moshe, Rav Moshe Halberstam, is an inical from the Klausenberg Rebbe. So he tells like this. He says, we have a rule that if the Paiskim don't tell us otherwise, the assumption always is that it starts at night. They didn't tell us otherwise. We have a rule that everything starts the night before. Unless they go out of the way and tell you, here's the exception to the rule. So his argument is that from since over here, no one goes out of the way to tell you, oh, here it starts in the morning, the implication would be it's not like that. Stamazay, when we were working with Jewish calendar always starts the night before. And he says whenever it doesn't work that way, the Paiskim right. It doesn't work like that. So he says over here, no one says anything. Until Rav Moshe came along, the Shaila was never discussed. The truth is, we'll see what was brought down by earlier. The Eishal Avram, the Bechacha talks about the Shaila. But Rav Moshe wasn't the first person to talk about the Shaila. But it is somewhat strange that in none of the earlier Achrayim there's any mention that, oh, you should know the 3 weeks only start from the morning. So he writes that if it's not written anywhere else, the assumption is the 3 weeks start already from the night. The Eishal Avram, the back of the Shulchan Aruch, he says an interesting thing. He writes, Ach b'chumro shloi lisa noshim bein ha-mitzarim ulai b'chlo gam bein ha-shmoshes. He says, what about bein ha-shmoshes? Monday, right? So Monday is Shkia, I think, 8:28. So now, when does the prohibition, if you assume like Rav Soloveitchik and not like Rav Moshe, that all the restrictions start the night before, when at night? Does it start after Shkia, or does it start after Tzeis HaKechavim? Big nafkamin, you got about 45 minutes to play with. Guy wakes up at 8:35, so they didn't shave yet. So again, so it's after Shkia, but it's not after Tzeis HaKechavim yet. He's got plenty of time. He can get the shave done before Tzeis HaKechavim. When does the prohibitions kick in? So the Eish Lavram writes, Ulai, possibly it starts Ben Hashmoshes. V'toiv l'haktim shi yayichud kaidim Ben Hashmoshes. He was talking about a case of someone rushed a wedding on Erev Shavuos HaBetamos. He says that what they should try to do is they should try to get the yichud in before Ben Hashmoshes. So clearly, the whole shayla of the Eish Lavram about Ben Hashmoshes is obviously not assuming like Rav Moshe. If you hold, you're allowed to make a wedding at night. So what's the ganzer shayla Ben Hashmoshes? What's the issue? You're allowed to make a wedding 10 o'clock at night. So clearly, this Eish Lavram is a very strong way against Rav Moshe. This Eish Lavram seems to be saying that the prohibition does start at night. Just he has a shayla, does it even start Ben Hashmoshes? And he's mesupik if it starts Ben Hashmoshes. I saw quoted Rabbi Yashiv held name. Rabbi Yashiv held that Ben Hashmoshes is mutter. You are allowed to take a haircut Ben Hashmoshes. Later contemporary Svarim that right, not like that. If you look in other Svarim, they say a person shouldn't rely on Ben Hashmoshes. We'll talk about it a little later. But the Eish Lavram is very clear that Ben Hashmoshes is a suffix. Now, Ben Hashmoshes can only be a suffix if you don't assume like Rav Moshe. If you assume like Rav Moshe, what's the shayla Ben Hashmoshes? According to Rav Moshe, you can go the whole night. So clearly, this Eish Lavram is a raya against Rav Moshe. Okay. Now, one would have made the argument that certain dinim that are avelus based, I think should start with Shavuos HaBetamos, such as haircuts and weddings. I think those things that are avelus based should start even more like Rav Moshe's lamdas, when you're actively being an avel, when the avelus of the tanis actually starts, which is when? In the morning. So then I hear Rav Moshe very strongly. I hear that the tespiris, and I hear weddings, which are all prohibited based on avelus. Those avelus restricted issues start when you're doing other restricted issues, such as not eating, not drinking, which starts in the morning.
Fasting is not an avelus issue. You don't fast.
You're right.
Fasting is a separate.
Every avelus has two dinim to it. There's an element of yom hatinus, and there's an element of avelus as well. It's mixed. That's the discussion. Every Tisha B'Av and these other days, they're mixed things. Some things are cause of avelus, some things are cause of what's called the yom hatinus. Both there. Now, let's go back a step to talk about the Shechiyonu. The Mechaber Shulchan Aruch wrote, Toiv li zoyer miloyimer Shechiyonu ben ha-mitzar. It's better to refrain from saying Shechiyonu during the 3 weeks. Interesting lashon, better. Yeah, also, no also. We live in a generation we need to be told what to do. Mutter also. Toiv li zoyer. Better not to. What does that mean, better not to? I mean, can't I, Rabbi? What am I supposed to do with that? So the Shulchan Aruch sounds like it's not really prohibited. It's better not to. If you can get away without it, don't do it. So the Grove here, number 19, asks, he says, Chumra Yisairi. He says, Mechaber is being too frum. It's a Chumra. Not to say Shechiyonu during the 3 weeks, that's a Chumra. Why? Da anan chamura me oval yom hamisa. Can the 3 weeks be more chumra than an oval on the day he actually loses a family member? V'aminim aperek ha-raya, amrula me saviv, v'davka b'digacha ba'adei. He talks about if a person realizes his father died and there's other yarshim, he's not going to get so much money. But let's say there's no one else there, he's getting all the Yerusha. A very happy day for this guy. Yeah, his father died, of course. But Lamai said there's an element of simcha because he's just yarshim the millions of dollars. So the halach is, he says a Shechiyonu. So what's going on over here? And avos a lot to say Shechiyonu, but we can't say Shechiyonu. In fact, the Vilna Gaon, it's a chum yaseri. It's a whole chum. It depends what the other people involved are and other who else is there in the storyline. But yeah, that's the discussion. We need to talk about that for this Tuesday night shir. Wednesday night shir. When sometimes I tell you the when Shechiyonu, when could be said during the 3 weeks? A person buys a car. A Moshe talks about the tshuva. A person buys a car. It depends why he buys a car. If he buys a car for his family, he buys a car for business purposes. Believe me, we need to talk about the halacha l'maisa. So the Grod disagrees with this whole premise of the Mechaber. The Magen Avraham comes to defend the Mechaber. And he writes, number 20, V'tamo iser, nearly, what's the reason for the prohibition? Kimin da zman hu zman peronius. Again, this term that we keep on seeing coming up again, zman peronius. It's a bad time in Jewish history. Ein levarich shechiyanu l'zman hazeh. We can't say the words shechiyanu. Shechiyanu is a bracha that's recited upon joy. Thank you for bringing me to this point. You can't say that now. We're not so happy to be during the 3 weeks. Sokta Magen Avraham, aval ein atam shem avelus. It's not because of avelus. Why? Because you don't find anywhere that an aval is restricted from saying shechiyanu. So clearly the Magen Avraham is addressing this issue of the goyin. That what's the reason for the restriction of saying shechiyanu? An aval is allowed to say shechiyanu. Comes along the Magen Avraham with the whole lumdus. It's not avelus. It's a different lumdus. There's certain things we don't do during this time because it's just not the right time for it. Now, if so, what we're seeing from this Magen Avraham is that there are certain dinim, this is what I brought up earlier, there are certain dinim of the 3 weeks that are cause of avelus, and there are certain dinim which are completely not avelus related, like eating meat. Eating meat is not an avelus related issue. Instead, it's not the right time. It's not the time for indulging, it's not the time for doing certain things. It's not zman misuk. So comes along the Tzitz Eliezer, there's a Waldenberg in a tshuva, and he comes to attack Rav Moshe. He says, based on a chida, I want to disagree with Rav Moshe's lumdus. And he says like this. He says, "Vani mispalei al baligus Moshe. I'm a spall on Rav Moshe. I'm also a spall from Rav Moshe, but not for the same reason he was over here. He was the spall of Rav Moshe. He didn't like Rav Moshe's lumdus. We're always the spall from Rav Moshe Feinstein. He writes, "Shleishos libo lepuktayu." He felt like Rav Moshe left out an important machloekis apoyskim in his igris Moshe. He writes that there's an old machloekis achreinim before Rav Moshe came to town about whether or not you're allowed to say shechiyanu the eve of Shavasa B'Tamos. Machloekis achreinim. The person allowed to recite shechiyanu. Let's say Monday night, a person goes and makes a huge purchase right before the 3 weeks. In 9 days, he buys five suits and all these very important things. And he normally makes a shechiyanu upon buying clothing, which itself is a discussion. Can he make a shechiyanu Monday night? So says Sicily Ezra, it's a big machloekis. And he says it's a famous tshuva in Shas, tshuva is Chaim Sha'al from the Chidah, where the Chidah passed, because he can't. So he says, I don't understand Rav Moshe Feinstein. If you're not allowed to say Shechiyanu Leil Shavasa B'Tamuz, so you're not allowed to make a chasen either. They go hand in hand. They're all lumped in the same rule of Shavasa of 3 weeks. So Tanya that says, Leazar, how did Rav Moshe miss this one? How did Rav Moshe not address the fact that there's a Mefurish Chidah that says you're not allowed to make Shechiyanu starting the night of Shavasa B'Tamuz? So the sister Eliezer says, if you're not allowed to say Shavasa B'Tamuz, if you're not allowed to say Shechiyanu, you're not allowed to make chasen, they go hand in hand, they're all the same thing. That's one argument I would have made, that they're completely not comparable because one is a mitzvah.
And that the Achenev and Isfar don't hold it as
exactly.
There's so many Gedolim in the Sfarish community that don't stop it. At best, maybe.
Right, and on top of that, the Mechab himself never really prohibited it. He wrote Toiv Lizar. It doesn't sound like it's us. It's better not to. So therefore comes along and says to Eliezer, and based on this, he disagrees adamantly against Rav Moshe, and he says, not true, no chasas the night before. Halacha l'maisa, it's a big shayla about making chasas the night before. And Ephraim Greenblatt, the big Talmud Muvik from Rav Moshe, he writes that he once asked Rav Moshe what to do. Someone needed to get married. So Rav Moshe said, you should write an invitation that everything's going to take place before Shkia. Even though you should really make the chasana not on Leil Shavasa B'Tamuz, you should really make it on the day before. Even Rav Moshe, we wrote in the Tshuva, it says, the Tzorech Yishlahat, even Rav Moshe himself said, let's try not to have to come to that situation. But halacha l'maisa, what do you do with haircuts? Maisa, this shayla happens all the time. Someone wakes up Monday night, 10 o'clock at night, realizes he didn't take a haircut. So according to Moshe, it can be matter. According to everyone else, it can't be matter. So it's a very big split. If you look in the Israeli poskim, Shlomo Zalman and the Stipler and Rabbi Yashiv and Eretz Yisrael, they all accept it not like Rav Moshe. In America, I think B'derech Klal, we follow Rav Moshe. So you have to know what a tzarich is. If a person really needs to take a haircut, a person really needs to listen to music on Monday night. He needs to listen to music. Whatever the tzarich is, I don't know. But I think the later Achreinim felt that B'shas HaTchak, we do have the right to be Samech on Rav Moshe, and therefore we do follow Rav Moshe for Monday night. Now, why I believe that Tzitzel Yezer is not a kasha against Rav Moshe, I think, is because of the two dim that we suggested. If you're willing to accept the notion that there's two things going on over here, there's Avelus and Zman Pranius, so then the raya that the Tzitz Eliezer brought is not a raya. Because again, not saying Shechiyanu according to the Magen Avraham is not because of Avelus. It's because this is not the right time. So that concept could start with the night before. Because again, that Zman Peronius is connected to the day of Shavasa B'Tamuz. The day of Shavasa B'Tamuz starts the night before. We all agree. So therefore, I would agree. You're not allowed to say Shechiyanu the night before. But as we mentioned earlier, the haircuts and shaving and weddings is an Avelus then. And then I think with Moshe's lumdus makes much more sense. When are you going to show Avelus? When you're showing other parts of Avelus of the actual Yom HaTinus, which starts the next morning. So I think with Moshe would have answered the Tzitzel Yezer, the apples and oranges. You have to ask yourself, is it Avelus or is it Zman Peronius? If it's Avelus, Avelus starts in the morning. When you're actively practicing the Yom HaTainus. If it has to do with Zman Peronis, then Ein HaChanami, Zman Peronis, we'll start the night before. Which means, Lafi, what I'm saying would come out, an interesting lumnus, would come out that those things that are because of Zman Peronis, such as Basar and Yayin, and hitting your Talmidim, and walking by yourself, that would take a start the night before, maybe even in Ramosha's world. Maybe. Mashenki, those things that are Avelis driven, such as haircuts and weddings, they would take a not start the night before, they would start the next morning. Now what's interesting is when it comes to weddings, it's Mavurin Mishainim. That some people held, the reason why I don't make weddings during this time is not so much because of the Avelis. It's because, again, it's not a good time. It's not a good simon. Which means it would make things very complicated, Lefizeh. Because if that would be the reason why we're not making chasnos, so then Yitaka wouldn't be allowed to make a chasna even the night before. So you have to ask yourself, is the Isra chasnos during this time because of Avel, so then we can use Ramosha's Lamdas to justify the mourning? Or the Isra chasna has to do with the Zman Perenius, so then the Sisir Ezra Zachariah, right, would start the night before. So I think that's really what the Shaila is telling you. If you have to ask yourself, is the Avelos of Ben HaMetzarim and Avelos Din? So then you can make the argument like Ramosha makes it. Or if it's Zman Perenius, so then you can say that it really starts the night before. So what's interesting over here is that the Sefer Kovetz Halachas, written by Rabbi Kleinman in Rav in Brooklyn, so he tied it to Reb Shmuel Kamenetsky, why don't we play a Svek Sveika card over here? He wanted to tie it, if you just skip to the bottom of the page, he writes over here, "Bedanti lefnei Meiriv Rebbe Shlita, ula yesh lahokal bebein hashmoshes betziruv dasig ris moshe." He wanted to tie it, let's say a person wakes up 8:35 after Shkia, and he doesn't take a haircut. So he wants to tie it, maybe you could justify it with a Svek Sveika. What's a Svek Sveika? Maybe we follow Rav Moshe, it doesn't start until the next morning. And maybe, even worst case scenario, you hold Ben Hashmosh as his mutter. So you have a Svek Sveika. So he writes, Umayiv Rebbe Shlit the Heshev. So Shmuel Kamenetsky told him, the Divri Ha Igris Moshe Mechudoshim Oid, Moshe is a big Chiddush, L'chein Avagav the Pshas Atcha Godlo, Soim Lichon Lahakal. We do use Rav Moshe. L'chadchila Eim Lismuch Lahakal Afilu Ben Hashmosh. You can't use Rav Moshe's Lomdus into a Suffolk Svek Sveika. So he seems, Shmuel Kamenetsky seems to assume that Rav Moshe is a Deichik, it's hard to understand. Again, Rav Moshe by and large is a minority opinion over here. Everyone seems to be against Rav Moshe and his lamdas of how he understood Le'etz Tzarech. But according to Rav Moshe, it comes out that you would A, be allowed to make a chasen on Monday night, B, be allowed to take a haircut Monday night, but again, whatever Rav Moshe means by Le'etz Tzarech. So he writes over here, Rabbi Kleinman writes, he says, L'chadchila, we should all make sure to take our haircuts way before Shkia. Make sure we get everything done before 8:28. But the Yevet, if a person didn't take a haircut and he has long hair, it's going to be a problem, so he can be semich on Rav Moshe. Now, I think that's what many contemporary Achranim write. But whatever Le'etz Tzarech means, I think everyone has to figure out what those words Le'etz Tzarech really mean. You have to be honest with yourself. But in any case, I think the Shaila, at least in Lomdus, forget the halachic ramification, we'll leave that for Wednesday night. But just in Lomdus, I think you have to ask yourself, is the Yisoid of these Asurim that we have during the 3 weeks, are they Avelis driven, or they are because it's just not Zman Peronis? I think that would be the Nafkamina to exactly when the 3 weeks begin.